This is Matt from the Man Cave. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching with your daily devotion for April the 21st. Hope you're having a totally excellent day today. Hey, today it's bright, it's sunny, the sky is blue as the day is long. I mean, it's just so cool being out here. I'm like in the middle of the desert with a park behind me, praising the Lord, preaching the gospel. I love it. Great. Hey guys, today we're going to be in the book of Luke. We're looking at chapter 16. We're looking at verse 19. Here's the thing. I'm going to read the story, but I'm not going to go over the whole story, okay? And it says this. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived luxuriously every day, and at the gate was laid a beggar whose name was Lazarus, covered with sores and longing. What? Listen to this. He's longing to eat what fell off the rich man's table. Even the dogs were licking his sores. So here's the thing. You got this rich man. There's nothing that he's missing in life. He has it all. He can buy it all. Okay. And you got Lazarus, who has nothing. He's looking for just a little bit of the crumbs off the guy's table. Okay. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died, and he was buried, and in hell he opened his eyes, and he was in torment. Looking up, he saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side, and he called to him and said, Father Abraham. Listen to this. I think this is so interesting, okay? He could have everything in this life that he wanted, but now he has to petition Abraham. He's saying, Father Abraham, have pity on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this flame. Friends, here's the thing. How literal does that sound? Because a lot of people, this is Jesus telling the story. A lot of people, they say, well, I don't believe in hell. Friends, if you don't believe in hell, you don't believe in Jesus, because Jesus talked about hell all the time. You can't pick and choose what you like in the Bible. See, if you pick and choose what you like in the Bible, it's not the Bible that you believe in. It's yourself that you believe in, okay? Well, the story goes on. Abraham replied, Son, remember, in this lifetime, you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted and you are in agony. And besides this, between us is a great chasm that is fixed. It's fixed. So that those who would go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us. And he answered, I beg you. Listen, this is our key verse today, friends, okay? I beg you. This is the rich man, okay? He's in hell, okay? He answered, then I beg you, Father Abraham, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment. Abraham replied, they have Moses and the prophets, meaning they have the law of God and they have the word of God. That's what that means. Every time a lost person passes the church, turns on the television, runs across to Christian, reads a bumper sticker. I mean, listen, they have the law and the prophets. That's what he's saying. You have the word of God, but we have, look at today, we have so much more than that, okay? Good grief, okay? Abraham says in verse 29, listen to it again. He replied, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. No, he's arguing with Abraham. He says, no, Father Abraham, no, okay? He says, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. He said to them, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. What is this talking about? Listen. Hell is such a terrible place. I mean, here's the thing. Everybody, I want you to understand this one truth. Everybody that is in hell right now did not think they were going to hell. Do you understand that one truth? Okay, this guy, all he wants, he could have gallons of wine, gallons of water in this lifetime, but all he wants is Lazarus to put his finger in water and dip it to his tongue because he's in torment, okay? When a person dies, and a lot of people, they just don't understand these different concepts about eternity. When you die, you enter what's called eternity. It's forever. It's never ending. Even people who have died on the operating table, who have had heart attacks, who have been in car wrecks, and they died and they brought them back, one of the things that they all agree with, okay, is this, that they knew that there was no more time. It just went on and on and on. But another thing that they understood was this, that they had full knowledge. They had full awareness, okay? They had full awareness of this life, and they had full recollective knowledge of everything there was to know. Meaning God allows that person, once they die, they enter into eternity, they know everything. They know the reason that they're there. They know everything that was spoken to them about the gospel. Imagine having a perfect memory and having absolutely knowing everything. The people that are in hell, they didn't think. Some people, they thought they had arrangement with God. Some people, they thought, well, I'm pretty good. My good will outweigh my bad. Some people just didn't believe in hell. Other people, they thought, it'll just never happen to me. me. You know what I'm saying? And on and on and on. So there isn't a person in hell that when they were dying says, I can't wait to get to hell. It's going to be torment. It's going to be gnashing of teeth. It's going to be the worst pain, the worst suffering known to man, and there is no tomorrow. Meaning it just goes on and on and on and on. If you were to take a handkerchief, okay, and right behind me is a set of mountains, okay, and you were to take every billion years, you were to take that handkerchief and just run it across the top of that mountain that's behind me, okay? It's actually behind you right now and you can't see it. Every billion years, I took a handkerchief and the handkerchief, let's say the handkerchief would not wear out. And I just took that handkerchief across the mountain. When that mountain was as smooth as just about like this, okay? And this isn't even smooth, but just say as smooth as this, that wouldn't even be the first second of eternity. That's how long it is. But here's the thing. The person, this rich man that's in the story, he understands this concept. He has full knowledge that I deserve to be there. I rejected the truth of God. And here's the thing. He's not there because he was rich. He was there because he denied God. That's why he's there. See, there's a lot of rich. Abraham is there, and Abraham was filthy rich, okay? And so it's not a matter of money. It's a matter of doing things God's way versus doing things man's way. Man has come up with an idea. They think, and friends, listen, I'm no great theologian, but I can tell you a thousand ways that man has come up, okay, with these false religions, these groups, these cults, these belief systems, how they think they're going to be okay. But yeah, I pray, and I wish God would open some of your eyes just for a millisecond and allow you to glimpse who's there in hell. You know what? If you could see just for a second who's sitting in hell, meaning this, what if you were a part of a false religion, a false cult, you joined a group, and you had the insight, God gave you insight to look into hell and to see the majority of people that had died, that were with you, that sat next to you, that you spoke with, that you ate with, okay? They're burning in hell. They're crying out. Those people are there, just like these celebrities. It's amazing. We see all these celebrities and we honor these people, and they're movie stars and they're actors and they're actresses, and some of them are politicians and some are great statesmen, okay? And all these people of honor, okay, they're all burning in hell. Why? Because they denied Christ. They denied God's way. It's his choice. He's God, you're not. And so what has he done? He's decided the way that man can be saved, and it's exclusively through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. And so the people that are part of a universal church or a universal belief system, that you gotta realize you're bust. You're gonna fall short of the glory of God, you're going to end up in the great white throne judgment, and you're going to be sentenced to hell, okay? But that's not where the story's going. Listen, it's so terribly bad, watch it, a person that's in hell, they don't even want their enemies to go there. I mean this, you and I have enemies, or we have people that we don't care for, we try to avoid those people. I wouldn't use the word enemy as much as challenging people, okay? But here's the thing, hell is so terrible, you don't even want those people that you absolutely despise in this life to go there. This rich man, he says this, Father Abraham, he's arguing with Father Abraham. Isn't that crazy? He has full knowledge, full recollect. He deserves to get there. He says, warn my family. You know why? Because they were doing the same thing he was doing. They were living the same way he was living. And they were thinking, we're okay. They're thinking this, hey, my brother, he's in heaven. He's in paradise. He's okay. Not realizing that guy is burning, okay? That guy is feeling the heat. He's thirsty. He's hungry. There is no food. There's no water. There's no light. There's fire. There's smoke. There's the worm that never dieth, okay? And here's the thing. It is just a terrible place, and it's a place of hopelessness and helplessness. And so this guy wants to warn his family. But Abraham says this, if they're not going to listen to the law of God, meaning they're not going to do what God's already said, and they're not going to listen to the word of God, and they're not going to be led by the Spirit of God, there's no hope. Okay, they already have the word, and for you and I today, it would be this. You have the word of God. A lot of people have Bibles laying all over. You can go on the internet and find a Bible. There's churches all over the place. There's the internet with so many evangelists, so many people like me spreading the gospel, calling that God's coming back soon, okay? Like John the Baptist, he say, get in the narrow path. Get in the straight way. But they ignore it. They think I'm okay. I'm a part of this over here. My grandpa was a part of this, and my other grandpa was a part of this, and I've been ushered into this. And here's the thing, they're going to burn. When God says narrow, what he means is narrow. Here's the thing, narrow is like this. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Narrow is you can go sideways through the door. And God says this, there's some people that sneak into heaven and the smell of smoke is on them. That's how close they got to what? Hell. It's only by God's mercy and grace. God has already given us everything in this lifetime to get to heaven. What is it? It is Jesus. It is the death, the burial, and the resurrection. It is the Bible. It is the Spirit of the living God wooing you, telling you, warning you. As I tell you, the greatest sermon on hell that I've ever heard was this: Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. It's in my playlist under hell, okay? And it is by Jonathan Edwards, okay? And then there's another guy with a great accent, and he goes over it. But friends, it really opens my eyes, and I love to listen to it. Why? Because here's the thing, it keeps me on the straight and narrow. It keeps me from making stupid decisions. It helps me to realize that God's not fooling around. See, a lot of people, they think God is a doting grandfather. Oh, sit on my lap with your sinfulness. God is holy, okay? And there is no sinfulness at all in him, okay? It's the absence of sin, and people don't understand God. You're not going to believe in hell. Watch this very carefully. To a person that really doesn't understand all of God, or the concepts of God, or they're not reading their Bible, understanding the names of God, and they're adding to and they're taking away, they're absolutely not going to believe in hell, because they don't believe in who God is in the first place, okay? If you don't believe that God is just, okay, and that he is a righteous judge, that he's going to judge the sinner, that he's a God of wrath and judgment, okay, along with, because here's the thing, in their mind they can't conceive, how can God be those things and God be a God of love, mercy, grace, and long-suffering? And so the two don't mash. But that the reason they don't mesh with you is because God is God, okay? He can do things that you and I can't do. And a lot of people, they're living under what's called God's long-suffering. He's waiting for you to make the changes in your life. He's waiting you to repent. God's done everything. He sent his son to live a perfect life, to die on the cross, a sacrificial death for you. That blood is applied to you if you believe. Okay, I'm not getting there by legalism. I'm not getting there by my good works. I'm getting there by the grace of God and the mercy of God and the love of God. And so you have to stomp God down in this life to go to hell. But there are so many people that I know that are doing just that. They're living a life of divided loyalties. They're saying, I belong to this and I belong to this. God's not going to share his glory with anybody. God says, I'm a jealous God. You're never going to show up, partner. You're never going to show up to God, okay? Make it into heaven, okay? And he's going to say, hey, you did all these good works, man. Hey, yeah, you earned it. You can't earn heaven. It's blood. Blood takes care of sin. So you have to realize, how do I get rid of my sin debt? Blood. But it has to be perfect blood. Who's the only one that ever had perfect blood? It's Jesus Christ. In this life, watch this, with the rich man Lazarus, you know what separated those two? Probably just a gate. I mean, you ever see those white picket fences with those white gates? In this life, it was a gate. Or it was a belief system. Or it was one prayer. That's the only thing that separated those two cats, okay? But now in eternity, there's a gulf. There's a chasm up until the time that Jesus died on the cross. And then he went, the Bible tells us, he took those who were captive and he set them free. Jesus died, it says that during that time, that 3-day time when he was in the grave, he wasn't just not doing anything. He wasn't just saying unconscious. It says he went down to hell, okay, and on the side of Abraham, he preached the cross. He preached the death, burial, and resurrection of himself. He preached about the blood, okay, and he says he set the captives free. Now all those people go straight to heaven. So for you and I, when we die in Christ, absent from the body, present with the Lord. But that other person who dies, they open their eyes like this man, in a place of torment, in a place of flames, friends, of weeping and gnashing of teeth, okay? And it's forever. Friends, in this life, here's the thing. You can have a bad job. You can have a bad relationship. And here's the thing. You can get another job. You can get remarried, okay? And you can do all these things. There's always hope and a vision. And the Bible says, without a hope and a vision, my people perish, okay? And there's a truth to that, because there is no hope and there is no vision in hell. It's forever. And once a person gets there, they realize it's forever. And I really wish that some of the people that I know, that God would open up their eyes and give them a vision of hell, to see mommy there, and to see daddy there, and to see this person that they hung out with, that this group there, and to see all these people that they thought were going to be okay, who promised them it was going to work out in the end, and to see them in torment, okay? A day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day, and they are suffering the death of the damned, okay? And they are in so much pain and torment, and it's just not even the beginning of it, okay? Even when you get there and join the party, okay, it's because you've stomped down grace. You've stomped on love and mercy, okay? You've stomped down God's way, and you deserve to be there, because God made a way, and it cost him his life, but you've rejected that. Friends, you can't reject it. There's two types of people watching this video right now: the lost and the saved, the sheep and the goats, the chaff and the wheat. See, God said it was going to be like this. He absolutely. And you know what he said in one of the parables? In one of the parables, they had this beautiful garden of wheat. Just beautiful wheat. And then the workers come in and says, you're not going to believe what happened. And he's like, what happened? He says, someone went through the whole garden and they planted chaff. They planted tares. And he's like, oh, you got to be kidding me. Meaning this, you ruin that guy's garden, because it takes 10 times more man hours to do it the right way, to harvest just the wheat, because you can't have wheat and tares together. But he says, leave it alone. Meaning this, one's wheat, one's the darnel seed. When they're growing together, okay, that chaff and the wheat, they look identical, okay? You only by a close inspection could you tell there's any difference. Meaning this, the actors and actresses, the people who are possessors of God and the people who are pretending. They don't. Friends, in church, you have two types of people. You have one that's professing God and one actually has a relationship with God, meaning they're possessing. Meaning this, it's the story of the 10 virgins, that some had oil, some did not have oil. Those who had oil were what? They were born again. The others were counterfeit. I mean, that's what they are. Okay, they're acting it out. I mean, they're trying to do their works. They're trying to do a system in which they think is acceptable to God. The only thing that's acceptable to God is Jesus. If you're praying to God in any other name than Jesus' name, you're rejected. It's only through Christ. That's why you can't go to a universal church and pray to the Heavenly Father. Friends, there is a God who created everything, and that's Jesus. His Elohim. That one aspect, that one name of God means Elohim. It means I am creator of all. But just because He created all doesn't mean that everybody He created is going to heaven. No, you have to know Him as what? Adonai, Lord, Savior, Master, owner of your life. And so there's tons of people, even Einstein, acknowledge, hey, there's a creator. This just didn't come around from nothing. We're on a ball sitting in the middle of a universe, flying around, having four seasons, having the sun, having a moon, having snow, having rain, having hail, having oceans, having birds, having animals, having food, okay, storms, all these things. Here's the thing. It's not rocket science that a person can look around and say, okay, someone had to create this, okay? A guy walking on the seashore finds a watch. He knows there's a watchmaker, okay? And so, yeah, but that's not enough to get you to heaven. So the person at the Universal Church saying, hey, God created everything, we're all going to go to the same place, that's not true. That's a lie from the pit of hell. You're not going to the same place, okay? You're rejecting the way that God chose for you to be saved, which is what? Exclusively Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, the resurrection, belief system in Him and Him alone, not adding unto. Friends, I know a lot of people that have the right heart. They really think they're doing that God, see, they don't understand God. They think, oh, God's got to love. No one's going to lose their life. It's all going to work out in the end. It does not work out in the end for you folks that reject Christ, who are praying to a universal God. It does not work out for you. You end up in hell. Does God want it? No, but there are people in hell right now. And here's the point of the whole sermon. There are people that you know that are in hell right now that want me to preach this gospel, and they want you to listen. I want you to give your life exclusively to Jesus Christ and Him alone, and to run from those groups, and to run from that religion that's not where God wants you to be, and to run from these false belief systems, and to throw yourself at the cross, throw yourself at the mercy, throw yourself at the love of Jesus Christ and say, you and you alone, it is only by your blood that I am saved. And just cry out to God and repent and turn from and turn towards. But here's the thing. Those people, they're begging me to preach the gospel to you. They're there cheering me on in hell. Preach to my loved one. Preach to my wife. Preach to my brother. Preach to my son. Cry out to them. Beg them to turn from their wicked ways. That's what they're saying down there in hell. As they burn, as the heat is overwhelming them, they're crying out to me to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to you. To ask you to turn from your sins, but you're not willing to do it, are you? I mean, you think you have it handled. Here's the thing. Every last person in hell thinks they had it handled. That's the one thing they all have in common. As they're moaning and they're crying, they all thought they had it handled. Why, when we're dealing with eternity, won't a person do their due diligence? Why won't they know that they know that they know that they're saved? Why would they rely on someone telling him some falsehood, or they were ushered into something? It just boggles my mind knowing that the track record of everyone that's ever lived on earth is 100% other than Jesus Christ, that you will die. And friends, when you die outside, you're gone. And God even said the majority of people that died were going to hell.
The greatest evangelists I've ever met are
those people who died on an operating table, who are just kind of wishy-washy about the whole thing. They died, and their eyes were open, they entered eternity, and they went to hell. They didn't go all the way in, but they sure got awfully close to smell the smoke and to hear the moans and to understand what was taking place in those creatures that were grabbing them. They were dragging them down, and they were powerless. Do you know in this life people like power? They like to feel like they're in control. Friends, you are powerless. From the moment you die, you have no power over what is going to take place in your life. None. The Christian, they're powerless. It is God who sends the angels, and those people are carried to heaven. Okay, but the other person, they're dragging their feet, from what I understand. I love to listen to people who have got close to hell, okay? Because here's the thing, they're never the same. You talking about preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, man, they're screaming in your face. They're begging you. They've already smelt it. Friends, you can smell it, okay? You can smell it. You can see it, and
let
you can
ask you
this question. Who's in hell right now that you know that wants me to preach this to you? Who is it?
What's his name? Is it your brother? Is it your mother? Is it your father? Is it a coworker? Is it someone that you joined a group with and everything was party and happy until he got in the head-on collision, until something happened to him, and now he opened his eyes and he's in hell as well? Who is that person that you know that's there, and that person is screaming out for you to listen to this message? I mean, they are crying out with everything that is in them. Listen to Matt. Listen to God. Listen to his spirit. Listen to those people who have gone before. Listen to the Elijahs and the Elishas, okay? The Jeremiahs, the Ezekiel, the Peters, the Pauls. He's screaming out. Listen to Moses. Listen to it. Listen to the Word of God. Get this on the inside of you. Why are you doing this over here? Why have you joined this? Why are you believing this over here? Who is it in hell? What's his name? You know, I was at a church some time back and I was talking to a board member who was also a Sunday school teacher, and we were talking about his father. And he had some trouble with his father over the years. And I asked him point blank, I said, was your dad saved? Did he belong to Jesus Christ? And he says, I don't know. Meaning I don't know normally means he does know. And nobody wants to admit that they know that they have a friend, a loved one in hell, because it's forever. There is no getting them out of hell. And people get mad at God all the time because we know people who have died, who are not living this, who have not believed in Jesus Christ as Lord, Savior, Master, Owner, who have not accepted that gift from Almighty God, who have applied that there was a change in their life, okay? They know. They absolutely know. And so what do they do? Instead of saying, Lord, save me, help the people, instead of investing their life into telling others, you know what they do? They get mad at God. You know what I'm saying? Like, here's the thing. Friends, here's the thing. The people that died, that are in hell, you'll never see them again. It's not like you're going to meet up with someone in hell. It's not like that. It's a place that you're not going to ever meet up with anyone. They're just going to suffer. And if you die without Jesus Christ, you're just going to suffer. You're not going to finally find a group there and you're all together and you're going to comfort each other. There is no comfort in hell, okay? There is no, watch this very carefully. There is no pleasure at all. I'll tell you this about hell. It's no respecter of persons. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter whether you have a great prestige or you're a nobody in life. It doesn't matter if you're a girl, a boy, a man, a woman, okay? It is no respecter when you die, okay? Listen, Satan's very legalistic. He knows. Watch this very carefully. He knows who's in Christ and who's not. He knows. Okay? Those demons know. And when you die without Christ, okay, and you die in legalism, okay, or you die outside of the blood, okay, they take you. It's not, oh man, I like this guy. It's not like that. It's so black and white, it's not even funny. There is no negotiating it, okay? God knows who's saved, and Satan knows who's not saved, okay? And it says this, that those creatures, these demons, those demonic beings, they grab those people and they drag them down there. Friends, I've been at many deathbeds, okay? And many times, I was at a deathbed, and I witnessed different things, okay? And I tell you what, share this and this and this, not knowing that that person, watch this, had incorporated different elements, okay, of a belief system into their life, or they joined themselves up to something and the words that were coming out of their mouth weren't true at all. They were just trained parrots. They were just like I was when I was a kid, talking about the grace of God, the mercy of God, the love of God, and this. Their belief system wasn't in that. It was in this over here. They thought this was going to get them. And friends, when they died, let me just tell you what I saw. It was horrible, okay? Some people would see the flames. They would go in and out of death. I'm seeing the flames. I'm seeing these things. I'm seeing these creatures. They're seeing demons. And some people are, their feet are going a million miles an hour. They're running. Why are they running? Because here's the thing. The Christian is carried to heaven, okay? Why are those feet going back and forth a million miles an hour? Why are they coming in and out of consciousness, in and out of death, screaming, and they're seeing these things? Do you think that sounds like there's no hell? Friends, I'm here to tell you, and only to find out after I buried them, not understanding, golly, this person, they told me they were saved, they told me they were baptized, they told me all the right things, but it was all a farce. To get to hell, you had to stomp down grace. You had to ignore Jesus Christ. You remember when they were nailing Jesus to the cross? And he's crying out. Do you remember when they were taking that whip of cat of nine tails with metal and pieces of glass and they were shredding Jesus? You know, in Isaiah 52 and 53, it says this, you couldn't even recognize Jesus. He was beat up beyond recognition. That's God who was beat up. That's God who his back, his life, his flesh was shredded for you. Okay, and to ignore that, which he gave, okay, you have to realize, you know what I'm saying? What's the opposite of that? God made a way. He had himself destroyed on the cross. God the Father raised him up on the third day, okay? And you've rejected that. Friends, you have to realize it's forever. God's not mincing words for you. You know what's always before him? What's always before God? The cries of his son on the cross. He's not going to feel sorry for anyone in hell. He sees that, look what he gave up so you could have the opportunity to go there. And those people in our story today, they're crying out, just like that rich man. He's crying out for his family, for his brothers, for his mom, for his dad, for his wife, for all these people. Go warn them, go warn them. And friends, here's the thing, I'm warning you. I'm giving you the warning from the Word of God. I'm giving you the warning from the rich man who opened his eyes in hell. He says, go and send someone. What am I? He says, what Abraham says, he says, they have Moses and the prophets. And friends, I'm neither of those things, but I'm preaching the Word of God. And that's what the prophets represented. The Word of God spoken through the prophets, okay? I'm preaching that Word of God. So I am that representative preaching, okay, for that rich man, for all those who have died and are crying out for your soul because you're living away. And they know. Listen, those people in hell, they absolutely know that. If you continue on the way you're continuing on without Jesus Christ, you will end up with them, but you'll never see them, and you will be in torment for eternity. It doesn't have to be that way. Repent and get right with God. Hey, this is Matt from the Man Cave.